been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation worldwide. How's it going? Welcome to The Call. It is a Purple Friday preview. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. That's right. My buddy, he's hoping for some clear skies, no overcast when he's going down to Miami. Josh, what's going on, man?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're bright and early getting ready to leave, man. I really can't wait to I'm just excited, man. This is road trip 2015, Ravens road trip 2015, me and my best friend. He would be on the show with me, but I'm waiting. I'm actually en route, so we'll definitely get there, but I'm stoked, man. I really can't say enough. We're about to fuel up the planes, and we're headed to south to Miami, man.
So you do this, like, every year, right? You always pick, like, one away game to go to. I know you did Indianapolis. I think that was last year. I mean,
not... And 2 years ago, I did the Monday Night Football where Justin Tucker kicked the 61-yarder.
Yeah, in Detroit.
I was in Detroit.
What is it about the Miami game that has you interested this time, this year?
There's a lot of factors. Miami's attractive, especially in December with Maryland weather, and it's been windy and cold up here. So, and it's attractive because I've never been there, first off. I've never been to South Florida. And the other thing was all of our trips were more West Coast-y kind of deal. I mean, I eyed the Denver game. I could have went to that because I had a friend who could have stayed out there for free. But believe it or not, the flights were more expensive and the game ticket was way more expensive. The game ticket for the Broncos game for upper level face value, or what I can find. I mean, face value is like probably 70, 80 bucks. But they were selling them for like 160. And I bought, basically me and my buddy are going to the Ravens game in Miami for 140 total. So it's like not that bad. And it was like, and I wanted to go to Arizona Monday night, which I had friends of mine going there too. But it was just cost effectiveness and trying to take off. And I was like, dude, let's do Miami. I mean, and I have friends down there. I actually found out that friends from Maryland are leaving. They have already left, and they beat us down there a day early. Meeting some friends down there I haven't seen in a while. So overall, it's going to be a great experience.
All right, very cool. And plus, Miami, you got plenty of pretty girls. You got beach weather. I mean, a little bit of everything for you.
Got it. Staying right on the beach too, my friend.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. So,
and apart from the game, we're actually going to be attending Saturday night. Me and my buddy, while we're down there, lo and behold, how it happens that this is right the same weekend. But I'm actually going to get to see LeBron James. Me and my buddy got tickets for Saturday night. We're going to the Miami Heat Cleveland Cavaliers game for the NBA. So we'll be at the NBA game and then be wrecking up at the Ravens game. So we got some good plans, man.
Absolutely. That sounds awesome, man. So I can't wait to hear about your travels during the Red Eye Review next week. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a blast. Both teams here we go. Let's talk about it. Both teams, 4-7. What is the biggest difference between these two teams? Because what I've noticed this season is Miami, you don't know who's going to show up. I mean, they could be a great
team. Like the Ravens.
Well, like the Ravens, but the Ravens have been a little bit consistent this year, given the fact that they play sort of well throughout the game, keeping it close, and then at the end they just kind of blow it. Miami, it looks as if they're great 1 week, and then the next week they're terrible and forget how to play football. So what is the biggest difference between this Ravens team and Dolphins team, even though they're both 4-7?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, records, like I said, you throw it out the door. The way I look at it, every team's 0-0 when they play, because at this point in juncture, the Ravens have if they want to have any, I mean, I did see it this week. The Ravens, like I said on the show prior, the Ravens are mathematically and technically alive for the playoffs. It's crazy and insane. You want to believe it. And it's been written by national and local media pundits per se. The Ravens, believe it or not, they have a shot for – it's crazy. They have a shot for a top 10 pick, and they have a shot for the last spot in the playoffs. So the season go anywhere. And you said the difference of the 4-7 teams, even though they're identical records, is they're both going separate ways. And what I mean by that, Brandon, is – if you look, dude, it's the Dolphins started well. I have to go back and look at their record. game by game, and but if I recall, they started well, and they were actually fighting for, you know, a wild card spot early on. They were fighting for first place until the Patriots started winning every game until they lost last week. So, and they were battling, and the Ravens, of course, they couldn't get. They started what, like, you know, they, we know, we all know our first win didn't come till week four against Pittsburgh, and, and we all know that. So, and then the last two wins came the last 2 weeks. So, being that, you know, they've won more of their games early and lost some late. We lost a lot late, won some now. So, or lost early, won now. So, that's the difference. And but they still got weapons. I mean, Tannehill, he can still light us up. They got some weapons, dude. They got this guy, Lamar Miller. I don't know if you remember this. Remember the Texans game where they just went off and Tannehill threw for like four touchdowns, and yeah. Lamar Miller had like 200 all-purpose yards and all that? Yeah. They have, and they blew him. I think it was like 45 to like 10. The Dolphins have the ability to do the same thing to us. Any NFL team we face is dangerous because our secondary still can't cover. Yeah, we're winning games and we're making plays, but believe it or not, I mean, we let Austin Davis throw a touchdown pass to a wide open Travis Benjamin, and, you know, Whitehill admitted on the coverage there, you got to get better. And they got Rashard Matthews. They got this guy Landry, who's an absolute stud. I really like him. Dude, they got some playmakers on defense. They got Ndamukong Suh. They got Cameron Wake. They got some playmakers on defense, man. They can wreak havoc. So you can't just take this team lightly. 4-7, they most likely be 7-4 because the way they have talent and the way they play, it's kind of like our season. It's like they have the talent. I mean, yeah, we have the injuries. They had the talent and they had the players, but they just lost some games in good fashion, and so have we. So it's going to be two teams fighting, and the Ravens have to win this game. It's a must win, obviously, here on out. Every week right now, it's a one-week playoff. It's like college football. You have to look at it that way. You know how college football, where it's like you basically lose one game out of the year, you're pretty much done. Like, college football is crazy. You almost have to go undefeated to win anything. It's nuts. But and the Ravens have to look at it that way. It's like, all right, one loss, and you know, it's definitely 100% off season right now. There is a glimmer of hope, but hey, if there's a 1% chance, let's increase that odds every week. But right now, they just got to basically contain the problems, and it's our secondary. I mean, I think we move the ball effectively on offense and the ball control. If we carry that over, and again, it's different because it's a different opponent. Yeah, it's Cleveland's defense versus the Miami Dolphins defense, man. But if they hold steady, I think this could easily be a game that we can capture here.
Yeah, you know, I'm very interested to see what's going to happen with this team. I don't know what Dolphins team is going to show up. You know, they are very inconsistent to me. So if it's one that we've seen the majority of this season, I think the Ravens could pull out another win. If it's one where they're focused in and they know what's going on, they know what to do, then, you know, the Ravens might be on the losing end. That's just the query that we have right now of what Dolphins team is going to show up. Now, their coaching staff has changed throughout this season. Is that a I got to imagine that is a coup for the Ravens, because the Ravens, even though it's a lot of young guys and it's a lot of guys new to the system, Harbaugh's system is in place, and a lot of players know it already. They don't have to learn this new coach's way, I guess.
Right, man. I mean, they went through, and it's not only just like the coordinator coaching changes like we have endured. I mean, they've had a head coaching change. So rarely does that happen midseason NFL. You've seen it few times if things are really dire. But Joe Philbin got let go this year, and Dan Campbell. And I don't know if you look, dude, but if you just look at Dan Campbell, he just looks like a football coach, doesn't he?
Oh, he does. Absolutely.
I didn't know who the guy was, and when I first watched the game with the Dolphins, I think they were on Thursday or Monday Night Football. I think it was Thursday against Patriots or Monday, I can't remember. Well, they kept showing him. I'm like, the dude looks like he goes like high school college football. Like, he looks like he's just like, he's that football guy. He's big, stocky, he's in shape. He's got that intense look about him. Like, he just looks like a football coach, and not to profile on what they really look like, because we have all coaches from, you know, all ages, all sizes, and definitely know their stuff. I mean, they're very knowledgeable, and that's why they're an NFL coach. But Dan Campbell's got the first game, he had these guys playing like good. It was just, they were all firing it, and they just, the wheels fell off. And I'll be interested to see how it goes for them. I mean, they've endured a coaching change. We've endured a coordinator change in the Super Bowl year late in the season, and this was midseason for them. So, and you're right, it can rock the ship, because like you just said, there's a system in place, and when players have a certain system, they are used to that, and it's routine. You practice week in, week out. When you change, now it's a different voice in the locker room. It's a different perspective. He might have a different way of discipline, going about things, running meetings, running practices. So you kind of have to alter your ways, but you have to be, as a player, be open-minded to that. Like with the Ravens, I mean, they had Cam Cameron, who they probably on offense had a certain way of doing things. Then here comes Jim Caldwell, who probably has a totally different way of doing things. So you got to kind of like, okay, well, now we got to learn it this way. And then Kubiak came in last year. We did it this way. Now Mark Trestman. So, and that's why I wanted to touch on. I know Flacco's not here right now, which really sucks. But you have to give the Duke credit. Apart from those games up until now, the dude's in court basically a coordinator change every year he's been in the league, basically. I don't think he's been – other than maybe Cam Cameron, who was multi-seasons, I don't think he's had the same coordinator carried over year after that, because since Cam, it's been coordinator gone, coordinator gone, coordinator gone. And now I already heard Mark Trestman's interviewing for a head coaching job in a college ranks. So we might be one and done again with offensive coordinator. It's like – the defensive coordinators stick around for a while, then they finally go get a head coaching job, or they finally go. But it seems like these offensive coordinators, we burn a turn them. I don't know what's wrong, but you have to give our offense credit with the weapons we've had. That we really haven't had any high-profile stars. I mean, we've had high-profile stars, Derek Mason, Anquan Boldin, Steve Smith, but these guys are like, they're journeymen. They're teeter past their prime, they're on their way down, but they're giving their last licks in the NFL, and we're getting that, and their last fight. And I just think for the Dolphins, you never know, because that could be an equation to the regime change, because you know they started well, they fired a head coach, but they fired a head coach for a reason. So whether it was record, whether it was team performance, or whether it was just time, who knows? We just really don't know.
Yeah, and if Mark Trestman wants to go and play in coach in college, please go. Please go the first chance you get. I mean, honestly, I'm not a fan of his. So if he wants to go after this season's done and go coach college, go do it. But anyway, my biggest concern, and this is one of the reasons why I'm happy Joe Flacco is not playing in this game. I don't know how to say his first name, but that big guy Sue on the Dolphins, with the way the offensive line has looked for the Ravens and the fact that it doesn't look like Kelechi Osemele will be playing, it doesn't look like Eugene Monroe is playing.
Nope, our line's depleted.
Yeah, we know Jeremy Zuta is out for the season. With a big guy like Sue, I would be very scared if Flacco was in this game that something like what happened already in this season would happen to Joe, and he'd be getting his licks in. But how is Matt Schaub in the offensive line gonna handle a guy like Sue, a guy that's kind of dangerous, kind of plays his own way? I don't honestly think that he really belongs in this league, because yes, he is a powerhouse, but at the same time, he doesn't play with respect for a lot of the other teams. He does have a really bad reputation. How do the Ravens handle a guy like that?
Well, they handle by, you know, power double teaming him. You can only put so many guys on line, because obviously if a blitz comes, you can't put two or even three hats on him, because the lane's going to be wide open and Schaub's going to have no time. So you just got to put your best guy out there. I'm really interested to see, because if Sue lines up on either side, I don't know if they're going to be switching him, but I like to see if his matchup's going against Yanda. I think they might put Yanda on him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the only player I can think of on the line, unless you put one of these young guys on him. But I think with Yanda's experience, I don't know if he's going to be following him along the lines if he lines up right or left, but I think Yanda needs to really hone in on that, and I think it's going to be, you're going to see that battle in the trenches, and I think that's what's really going to be where the game's going to be won, because we discussed the running game. The running game's got to be firing on all the cylinders here, and you know, Buck Allen and Terrence West, we need these guys to be running hard on Sunday, because if you don't, they're running the pass. I mean, you look at football, it's very, very simple. You think it's simple. When you really look at it, it's, you have two options, run or pass. But when you do both and one's successful, the other complements each other. We always say teams pass to set up the run if they're pass heavy, or they pass, or they run the set up to pass like the Ravens have always been, because play action works. Or if you're running, that means you got to put it in the box. So if you really have to keep them honest, you might get that correct play call where you might catch the linebackers two football on the line, and the receivers or tenants can get right in between linebackers and secondary, and they can go to a good 10, 15, 20 yard game, maybe even more if you call those quick slants. So you have to watch their blitzes, and if we can call a good quick slant, I think that'll be the play to look out for. And moving the chains, speaking of that, Aiken's been a chain mover, and Jeremy Butler's been coming on late. Mm-hmm. I think these guys, what you're going to see is these calls, these plays, these screens, we're going to get 5, 6, 7 yards every time, and we're just going to go down the field on ball control. I don't think that we need to go heaving the ball down 40 yards down the field on 1st and 10, I think, you know, with a big playability. I mean, it's been there. I mean, Chris Givens caught that big long play. I mean, I think those should be well timed maybe once a quarter or once every other drive just to keep the defense honest and stretch the field, because if you keep everything in front of you, the defense is going to figure that out, and then you're not going to get nowhere. So you kind of got to switch it up. It's a chess match, but I think we have the personnel to get done.
And I think one of the big things, you brought it up, you know, you're not going for that long ball, you know, not going for 40 yards down the field, but controlling the clock. I think that was something that the Ravens did very well last week against the Browns. What did you say? I think it was in the second half they controlled the first 15 minutes of the second half.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, they showed the graphic, and the Browns had the ball 5 minutes in game time, and the Ravens had the ball, and they were currently driving, and they've had it for over 15 minutes. So pretty much the Browns had it for maybe, you know, a couple minutes out of the third quarter, and the Ravens took the ball into the fourth quarter, and they've had the ball for 15 minutes since the second half started. So, and they dominated. I mean, and then the total yards, because it was a tale of two halves, as it always is with the Ravens in any football team or a game. The Ravens really didn't get anything going in the first half. The game was still close, but the Browns outdid them in yardage, and then all of a sudden it was like the Ravens are like, you're not getting the ball. They're just playing keep away, and they went down. And what bodes it well is successful teams, when they win in the NFL, like Mashavi even said in his presser, wins are hard to come by in the NFL, so you have to enjoy them as much as possible, because they're not. You get 16 games a year, a handful of teams maybe win 10 to 12 games at the most. That's a successful year. And you have to enjoy wins, and they're hard to come by, as we get 4 wins and 7 losses. And you kind of really have to put that game plan together. So I think with in putting that, the ball control definitely helps. But with my point here is, you don't want to take a long 10, 12, 14 play drive, take 8 minutes off the clock, and come away with 3 points. To me, I'd rather throw a pick or punt the ball, be honest with you, Brandon. I mean, I don't want 3 points. Yeah, everybody wants to score 7. Who in the right mind wouldn't want to score 7? John Harbaugh raised his hand, and all the Ravens staff and the organization would raise their hand. But that's what makes it hurt more for their team. Like, oh, they just took the game 8 minutes off the game clock. They tore out our defense, and they scored 7. So if you look at 15-minute quarters, the Ravens have the ball for each half of the quarter and score every time. That's 28 points every quarter if they take long drives. Even if you add a dink and dunk 3-point field goal in there or so, you know, you're at 31 points, 34 points. So if you can average that 28 to 30 points and go down and stop the other team, if the other team's keeping pace, if your defense does its job and get them a 3 and out or get you a turnover, you can turn those into 3 points. You just keep the pedal to the metal, and I think that's the game plan, is capitalizing what we learned against Denver, or not Denver, Cleveland. I don't know where Denver came in. Actually, because I was watching out for network and they were showing highlights of that Denver game. That was awesome still. I can't believe it. Yeah, it was like staring at the TV. I'm thinking Denver because I'm watching it. It's just really exciting to see, because you got to carry the game plan over. And again, it's really hard to say that, because, I mean, you can still carry the Ravens game plan, but the game plan against the Dolphins, each opponent's different. So the game plan's going to vary a little bit, but I think we'll get done, man.
All right, so on the defensive end of the ball, what do we really have to do? I mean, we've said, the secondary is no good this year or last year for the Ravens. Who do we have to get a big game from in order to utilize the defensive correctly? Like, do we need Dumervil and Mosley to get to the quarterback as much as possible? Are they a running team? Are they a passing team? What's a big, for those who don't know out there, what do the Ravens really have to do to make sure that the defense does everything they can to make sure that the other team doesn't get 7 points?
No, well, the defense has to just, again, do your job. You're going to hear those three words a lot. The secondary just needs to really gel and come down and really not these big plays. I mean, you can't really have a miscommunication. I've heard some from the fan chatter. I think the team's gelling well this far in the season, but Will even admit, and he had the redemption with the block field goal and the game winning score, but you know, he made it to leaving Travis Benjamin wide open, as we alluded to. So that can't happen. You're all, I wouldn't say an all pro, but you are a professional in your sport. You got to know where these guys are. I mean, they're human. Things happen. There's lapses. There's breakdowns. But we can't really have these guys, you know, just standing wide open in the middle field making 40-yard touchdown catches. I mean, it's disgraceful, and it's disgusting on our secondary, and we need to play better, and it needs to happen. I mean, yeah, we might lose the football game, but if we can at least keep it and contain it, And I'm very impressed with the tackling. If we can tackle like that this week, it's going to be a good day. There were some missed tackles there, but you just guys got to put some – and again, with the rules, and I'm afraid to hit player, you can't. Just go there and tackle him and let the game come to you. Don't try to tiptoe around the game because this is what's going to happen. You're going to let the guy escape for – let's say it's 3rd and 12, and they throw a screen. You can tackle him 4 yards short, and you miss that tackle, and he gets the first down with 5 yards to go. I mean, that's on you. And then they could keep the drive alive and score a touchdown. And then there you go. Missed tackle could have got them off the field. You never knew the balance and sway of the game. So I think, and with defense, Mosley and especially Dumervil got to be the leaders here. I think right there, those two, apart from Darius Webb, maybe Jimmy Smith, those guys are leaders right now on defense. They're the guys to look out to. And I think Sharice Wright needs to step up like he's been continuing to do. I think you're going to see continued play from Will Hill. And I really like to see if Kalen Clay performs well on special teams. I think our special team has shined. And they did well. I mean, Sam Cook's an all-pro punter. He's been doing a great job booming punts, getting it inside the 20, maybe inside the 10. They've been very well, and I like to see Tucker try to be more accurate. I mean, I hate to really say that, but he's been off lately, and I don't know what it is, but I'm confident with our special teams can get it done. And if all three are firing, who's to say we can't come out with a win?
Yeah, that's what I really want. I think that's what every Ravens fans want out there. Everybody wants a win, and hopefully in sunny Florida, hopefully it's sunny for you, and hopefully you get to have a good game, a good competitive game to watch. And I'm excited for this game. This is always a good one. For some reason, the Ravens always seem to go to Florida in December. It's always just a part of the season. It's always around this time of year. So it's good for them to get some of that that sunshine, that right. Warmth. You know, I think a lot of players enjoy instead of playing in the cold. But here we go. One more to go. Here we go. Josh, should we cover everything?
We covered this one to the max.
All right, very cool. If you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can tweet to either of us. Tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Brandon, they can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. Go over to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like Brando Cash Entertainment over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, whether it be The Call or What the Puck or anything else that we decide to do in the next year or so. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. We're always posting cool videos and photos and news articles. Anything about the Ravens we think you guys will dig, and we'll share it with you guys over on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Now, we do the show for free. You guys listen, you stream, and you download it for free as well. It's the holiday season, guys. It's the giving time of year, and we don't want your money. We don't want gifts. We want you to spread the word about The Call. That's all we want for Christmas. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. And you know what? I think we need to set up a Snapchat for your trip to Miami. So fans have been asking about it. They're saying, let's do a Snapchat. I think we're going to do that. And that way people can follow you along in Miami. So Josh, I think we're going to get that set up soon. But be on the lookout and like our Facebook page, and you'll know when the Snapchat goes live. But here we go, guys. Share the show, be social with it, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I wear my purple on Purple Fridays, I listen to The Call podcast to get me ready for the games, and everyone else out there should as well. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, have a good time in Miami. Take us out, get us ready the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much. Thanks for all those who make The Call possible with every weekly download and listen. And here we go, man. Ravens road trip 2015. The wheels are about to go up pretty soon here, feeling the jets, and we are headed south and taking the talents to South Beach. We're going to do it purple style. Can't wait to wreck it up purple Friday night. We're going out when the town. Can't wait to see any Ravens fans out there and any purple and black paraphernalia out there and any merchandise we can get our hands on for Ravens. And it's going to be a good time. We're definitely got the setups. We already had the tailgate set up. It's going to be a good Sunday. We heard rain in the forecast, but we already know it's Florida. It can rain and shine in the same hour. So we're very prepared. We're going to have fun. We're going to root our team hard on the road and show everybody that Ravens Nation, like Brandon always says, worldwide. And we're definitely going to be flying down to South Beach to enjoy it with many Ravens fans that I know. They're attending the game. I really can't wait to see. And anybody's out there, you know, if you're down there, shoot me a text or a tweet. Please let me know where you're at. I'd like to meet up with you guys and create a big tailgate. Can't wait to get it done. We're going to fly high this week. We're going to fly high down to Miami. We're going to fly high out with a win on Sunday.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.